This is Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3
102.1. And this is Bob Fitrakis, and all hell is busting loose in the Buckeye State. Fox commentary and former Lehman Brothers, I'll sell you junk for your public employees portfolio. New governor, John Kasich, is running amok. He's on tape. He's calling the police idiots.
Uh-oh.
He thinks he's still working for Rupert Murdoch. And he wants to bust the public employee unions. He's going after them all. The teachers, of course, because the charter schools and the right-wingers in the charter schools, like Mr. Brenner, are leading contributors to the Republican Party. But that's not enough. He also wants to go after the state employees and the police and firefighters. And he's claimed if they strike, he'll bring out the National Guard, Connie.
Oh, geez. Well, that sounds pretty heinous. So I was wondering, Bob, what about people's right to free association? Isn't the right to unionize covered in our constitutional right to associate with one another?
And a right to contract, and not only that, the Wagner Act there in 1936, and various other acts.
So,
John Kasich seems to want the glory days when management would simply call out the U.S. Army, which it did over 800 times from the beginning of industrialization in 1877 till 1936 when we passed the Wagner Act, and we used to have these open shootouts. So I find it incredible that Governor Kasich, who got less than 50% of the vote, less than 50%, who the exit polls, the gold standard of elections, said lost the election from people coming out of the polls, now is acting like he's the dictator. The new Mubarak, John Mubarak Kasich.
So I've heard that Kasich has threatened that if this bill passes, that it's Senate Bill 5, I believe, that he would actually call the National Guard to bust up unions and to break them up. And so my question is, shouldn't he be using Blackwater instead of the National Guard if he's anti-government?
Well, don't give him any ideas.
Right. Well, I'm just saying.
But you're right. And not only that, here's a great irony. A lot of the policemen and firefighters also serve in the Guard.
Yeah.
So likely
they're going to bust themselves up?
Yeah, now I'm wondering, maybe it'll be like Egypt. You call out the military and they side with the people.
Yeah, hopefully.
Instead of the dictator, in this case,
so.
Governor Kasich.
Right.
He's so out of touch. And his response to anyone who disagrees with him is that they're an idiot. You know, if you look at this agenda, it is so reactionary. It is so an attempt to go back in history before the New Deal, before workers' rights.
Right.
It's a notion that management, people at the top, wealthy people, can dictate to people at the bottom. But, you know, firemen, teachers, police officers are smart enough to realize they need a contract, because rich people don't do anything in business without contracts. You know, you're a lawyer,
right?
Contracts is how you do business, and the workers need a contract to protect their rights through collective bargaining.
So it really seems that people who are in unions, teachers, police, firefighters, they're not idiots for wanting to be in unions. They're self-interested, just like everybody else, just like rich people are self-interested.
No, absolutely, and that's why rich people don't do business without contracts, elaborate contracts. So, and again, this notion of a National Guard corresponds to the mythologizing of Ronald Reagan. Just a few weeks ago, it was his 100th birthday. And there's this myth of Ronald Reagan. But one of the things that Reagan actually did, not sort of like I'm a cowboy with a white hat and I saved the world, but what he actually did is he busted PATCO, the Air Traffic Controllers Union. He shackled their leaders hand and foot and imprisoned them in jail.
Yeah.
And the unions at that time should have taken a stand against Ronald Reagan, and he brought in the army. That's where you get this notion of bringing in the National Guard. Reagan used the U.S. Army as strike breakers to break the strike of the air traffic controllers. But there was one union that rose up and for 24 hours refused to land any planes. Unfortunately, it was the French air traffic controllers who refused to land any American planes. But the great irony is that if workers would just stand up, as they did in the 30s, as they did in the 40s and 50s, protect their rights, because that's how they got these sick days. You know, under state law, public employees get 15 sick days a year. It's not like Kasich came in and said, that's a little much. What about 12? Or what if we even cut it in half?
Right.
What if you do 7?
Or what now if you're you just not allowed to get sick.
Now it's 0.
Right.
If you're sick, and think about kindergarten and first grade teachers.
Yeah.
From what I remember,
they're exposed to a lot of germs.
I'm thinking is that I might not have been up to par on wiping my nose in kindergarten.
Right.
And all those kids are sick. They're coughing on each other.
It builds the immune system, Bob, to be around a bunch of sick kids.
It should come out of your paycheck. If you get sick because you've got 30 kids with cold and you're supposed to be teaching them, you can't take a day off without it coming out of your paycheck. And now he wants to stop all-day kindergarten?
Maybe teachers should just sue the schools when they have to take sick days. Maybe they should sue them.
Lawsuits.
Well, it certainly is a struggle to stick up for our rights. And there have been a lot of unions organizing and, you know, sticking up for their rights. And so I definitely hope that they will continue to engage in that struggle because it's much needed. It's, you know, it's not just affecting workers, this new legislation in Kasich. It's also affecting women. Right now, women are going to have to struggle and fight for their lives, for the right to abortion, or really, I mean, just, you know, prenatal care, honestly. The heartbeat bill, which has been introduced into the Ohio State Legislature, would restrict abortions after the point in time when a heartbeat can be detected in an embryo, and that
which is somewhere around 18 days.
I've heard that at the earliest it could be 18 days. Most women wouldn't know that they are pregnant after 18 days. They might not have even missed a period by that time. So it's really important to protect women's health that that this bill not get passed, and it is unconstitutional anyway, so hopefully it probably won't get passed, but it's very dangerous because it could be the precursor to a compromise bill that you know this one is so extreme that, you know, they introduce something else that's not quite as extreme and it's viewed as a compromise, when really, you know, restricting abortion in the second trimester also isn't acceptable. But going back to the heartbeat bill, it's so extreme that, you know, if I were to get pregnant as a diabetic, and if I found out, you know, I'm actually someone who would like to have a child and to have a healthy pregnancy, but if I found out that I was pregnant after a month and that it could, you know, affect my health, that I could even die or have severe, you know, I could have organ failure, kidney failure, that I might not have a healthy baby, that I could die during pregnancy, during giving birth, afterwards, you know, by that time, it would be too late for me to choose to terminate my pregnancy, even before a baby is viable. And so it's really not fair. It places an unfair burden on women. And, you know, I have the right to protect my own health. It's life, liberty, and equality. It's really unbelievable that they're trying to take women's liberty from them to save their own lives when they could easily act to safely save their own lives. And when last week, when this bill was introduced, I and a couple friends went down to the press conference where the heartbeat bill was being talked about and introduced. And at the Hyatt Regency, there were also firefighters. The unions were there. And so we were there with our signs and information about it. And the firefighters union, you know, we got a lot of supportive words from them. And they seemed very supportive of woman's right to choose. And I think that, you know, this would be a great opportunity for some cross-pollination in the labor and women's movements.
Good. And partly, and this takes us back to Reagan again, is that a lot of what is being assaulted here is the New Deal of Roosevelt that got us out of the Great Depression, the Great Society programs, that tried to build a state where workers, public employees, were treated fairly. The women's movement that comes out of the 1960s that said that, you know, having a child should be a choice and not forced breeding. The student movement, the right of teachers to collective bargaining. And in many ways, Kasich, you know, wanting to be, you know, the next Calvin Coolidge, really the next Ronald Reagan, is really attacking the entire progressive legacy that created the middle class in the United States. If you look at the parallels between someone like John Kasich, who worships Ronald Reagan, and these people that mythologize him,
yeah,
what they don't talk about is, number one, Ronald Reagan, first of all, was a snitch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... His nickname was T-10.
Tell me more about that, Bob.
Well,
how was Reagan a snitch? Who did he snitch on?
Well, he worked
for
the FBI.
Okay.
He reported directly to the FBI. During
the
1950s, during McCarthyism, Senator Joe McCarthy.
Oh, yeah. That was a big time for snitching.
And Q-Act,
the House the golden age of snitching, I think.
The House Un-American Activities Committee, when they would send this House committee around to look for un-American activities, of which Connie probably commits dozens a day. Because, like, subscribing to Consumer Report was considered to be subversive.
Yeah.
World peace. Someone like your boyfriend who's a Quaker, they would get called before the committee because they would be advocating world peace instead of killing a commie for Christ.
Pretty subversive.
Right? It was, so those people were considered...
Nonviolence, you know?
And the guy who snitched on the subversives and supposed communist or... the Pinkos, the perhaps socialist in Hollywood, was Ronald Reagan. He was president of the Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah.
And a lot of these people were charged with, get this, being prematurely anti-fascist. They were against Hitler and Mussolini prior to Pearl Harbor, prior to December 7th, 1941.
So they had a little foresight?
Well, that's what we would think.
Right?
But it was thought anyone that was against them must be a communist because... Stalin was against him, hence Hemingway, who went and, you know, was in an ambulance driver in Spain. All of these people were considered to be subversive because they fought against Hitler and Mussolini when DuPont was selling them weapons and Standard Oil was selling them gasoline.
Right. There were American corporations making a whole lot of money off of it. Off of the Holocaust and the
IBM
World War.
Sold the machine so Hitler could count how many people he killed in the death camps.
Right. So I guess they were considered anti-American because they didn't support American corporations.
Well, America
overseas.
Was neutral, but our corporations weren't.
Right.
Our corporations, Ford was doing business with Hitler. GM had Opel, a subsidiary.
Yeah.
We were selling stuff to Hitler and Mussolini. And Prescott Bush, the grandfather of George W. Bush, the father of George Herbert Walker Bush, was helping finance the Nazis through the Union Banking Corp.
Well, all the same, it seems pretty unsophisticated, a pretty bad analysis to say that the Screen Actors Guild members who were against Hitler were communists or something. I mean,
but they weren't making patriotic nationalist movies that would automatically support the U.S.
Like propaganda or something.
Oh,
they weren't making
great ones.
Yeah,
The Iron Curtain, Torn Curtain. I was a communist for the FBI. I Married a Communist.
Wait, they were making those films or they didn't?
Those were the...
I Married a Communist.
Those were the correct ones. Oh, okay. There was this whole genre in the late 40s.
But they were just doing normal things like, you know, beautiful women and cars and...
They were doing, you know,
Gone
more,
with the Wind. I don't know.
You know, they were like, some of them were anti-nuke. Instead of saying, our bomb is good. It's good we bombed the Japanese, and it's a good God-fearing bomb.
This is Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3, 102.1.
And God bless the All-American bomb. So, the question that we have is after that, Reagan goes to work for GE, right? And talks about the glories of free enterprise. GE is price fixing at the time. You know, they don't believe in capitalism and competition. They believe in getting, you know, the no-bid contracts, thwarting competition.
Yeah.
And then what does he go on to do? Think about what Reagan went on to do. He came out against the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
This is who John Kasich likes. He comes out.
He cut welfare, right?
Oh, yeah. Well,
I mean, I was born in 1980, and, you know, my mom couldn't get public assistance because she was married to my dad. At the food stamp office, they told her to get a divorce because her income was too high, and I guess he was drinking all of their income. So, I mean, but I think that happened to a lot of women who were, you know, seeking some kind of WIC or...
Well, Reagan had tremendous, you know, cuts in welfare and other factors. But even worse than that, this man in 1966 runs against Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement. And then in 1980, he kicks off his campaign in Philadelphia, Mississippi, which is the place where Schwerner, Goodman, and Cheney, the three civil rights activists, died, were martyred. So he goes down there and talks about states' rights. So a lot of times when you get Kasich today talking about states' rights, you know, the rights of the states, and, you know, we're against collective bargaining.
Really,
he wants to do away with binding arbitration.
Wants to make Ohio into another Mississippi, perhaps?
Oh, exactly. It does, exactly. I mean, Philadelphia, Mississippi, where his hero Ronald Reagan went and kicked off his Dixie Grand campaign.
How did the activist die, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, it was the famed Mississippi Burning, the Hollywood version. But they were registering people to vote down in Mississippi.
So were they like lynched, essentially?
Well, they were.
They're murdered.
They were killed and buried in an earthen grave.
Jesse Jackson used to like to say, or executed, or something.
Two Jews and a black man. It was two Jewish college students from New York and a local young black organizer, and they were killed by the Klan.
Reagan chose
to kick off his campaign in 1980. Now we're supposed to pretend like Reagan's great, just like we're supposed to pretend like John Kasich, by attacking teachers, by attacking policemen and firemen in public safety, is somehow heroic. What he really wants to do is to destroy the middle class.
Yeah.
And the great irony of this is his dad was a unionized postal worker, and every chance he gets, and his dad died prematurely in a car crash, he's always saying, my dad was a postal worker. Mm-hmm. But John Kasich has never done anything for working people. John Kasich, here's the only thing Kasich ever did for working people. He sold them junk assets for Lehman Brothers. After leaving Congress, he went to Wall Street, bragged about working on Wall Street, lobbied to have junk assets put in public portfolios for teachers and public workers, sold us $400 million, lobbied to have the pensions of working people who worked for the state absorb this junk. Then Lehman Brothers went belly up, and he got at least $500,000 a year in income. He won't even disclose how much money he saved. So he sold public employees junk, got rich, became a multimillionaire, and now he wants to bust the unions.
Right, yeah. So I guess one thing that I'd like to maybe expand on is this idea. Maybe it sounds like you're talking about class war.
It is class warfare.
Doing away with
and
the middle class.
And every time you say that, Connie, you know what the right wing says?
Making a large poor
people. You're needlessly invoking the specter of class warfare. But here's my point.
I don't know.
Ones that are declaring the class warfare.
They're actually doing it.
They're the ones who say you don't get any sick days, right?
Right.
You can't have binding. They're the ones. I mean, how do you get rid of class warfare? You're an attorney, binding arbitration. Each side comes in, they agree not to go on strike. It benefits everyone. He wants to get rid of binding arbitration. He wants to get rid of the right to unionize.
Yeah.
And then he wants to fire the workers and call out the National Guard. That is class warfare.
Yeah, that's what really bothers me. It's like, really, you're going to, you know, call out the National Guard to bust up unions? People can't even, you know, take to the streets, protest, go on strike? I mean, wow. It's, you know, banning unions, it would be incredible and not a good thing. You know, it would be pretty, I think, mind-blowing if people were not allowed to associate with each other and organize. I mean, really, how can you tell people that they're not allowed to organize for their own rights? It's absurd. And it's warfare. It's a kind of warfare against certain classes and groups of people. If you tell them that they're not allowed to associate and organize, it's unconstitutional.
And again, you'd think in a state like Ohio, which had trouble with the National Guard at Kent State, and is famous for the National Guard shooting people, that the last people you would want to call out to bust the unions are the National Guard. The National Guard should be serving the people, not serving this junk asset selling millionaire from Lehman Brothers who couldn't get 50% of the vote, who's never really worked a public sector job. He went from college pretty much to Congress. He then went to Wall Street. He then went to Fox News and made money being a mouthpiece for billionaire Rupert Murdoch attacking working people. And this guy wants to call out the National Guard on policemen and firemen. I mean, it's an act of terrorism.
Yes. It's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, there's always...
I mean, you know, I guess I'm speechless.
Right, the right of teachers to unionize, right?
Right.
The right of policemen to unionize. The right of firefighters who breathe in smoke, soot, who often are sick with bad lungs in their early 50s. Why wouldn't you allow them to unionize so they can have a pension?
Right.
What this is about is middle-class people manage to organize, get pensions, so they can retire after 30 years.
And not have horrible lives and horrible disabilities.
And
you know, have a decent life.
In. Now he wants them to work till they're 72 and not really have the pensions.
People shouldn't have to be firefighters until they're 72 or teachers or whatever.
And then to call police officers idiot because one of them, and here's the great irony, he got a ticket on 315 for not yielding to an emergency vehicle.
Right.
Which speaks volumes. So he calls
He sounds pretty entitled. He's pretty entitled. He's like, excuse me, you guys are in my way. I want to zoom around you. And somebody had the nerve to pull me over. What an idiot.
So I think I'll bust the policeman's union and the fireman's union because I'm John Kasich. And anyone who disagrees with me is an idiot. And this is the same guy who wanted to secretly be inaugurated. He's got this incredible arrogance. He thinks, you know, he's entitled to this because he's kissed corporate ass, kissed Rupert Murdoch's ass, and sucked up the rich people. He thinks that somehow, because he's kissed the ass of rich people and large corporations, that he can bust middle-class people's unions.
Yeah.
And again, he really needs to be driven out of office. He is the Mubarak of Ohio. He should not in it. Now, he really should not be allowed to go out and speak in public. To he apologizes to the policemen and the firefighters for calling policemen idiots, and shows some repentance. Everywhere he goes, people should say, apologize.
I wonder if he's calling women idiots, too. He probably is. I don't know.
Who knows? I mean, he's got... Who knows what his agenda is? Who knows why?
That's what's
he should have went to jail. Yeah,
that's what's really confusing
for me. For what he
did
for Lehman Brothers, not been sent back to torture the middle class public employees in Ohio.
Well, the governor and other elected officials are supposed to be public servants, and it really is disturbing to think about what his motive could possibly be when he's trying to take benefits away from middle class people, trying to prevent people from organizing and associating with one another, so that they can, so that they can find a better life for themselves and to, engage in contract and,
Threatening them with guns, threatening them with the National Guard.
That's what's really sick. It seems like he's not doing his duty as a public servant to, make sure that people are doing okay in Ohio. I don't think that slashing the budget is really justification for making people suffer. I think that you can find other ways to deal with things. Maybe we should cut military spending if our spending is such an issue.
Or maybe him and some of his incredibly wealthy friends that made a fortune on Wall Street
they
and
could
then got
donate.
Bailed out with tax dollars.
Yeah, they could donate.
Maybe could pay some more taxes.
They could contribute a little bit
the
more
top
to society.
1%, sure.
They could make a contribution to society with
maybe,
some of the wealth that they
have. Maybe
he
could give back his pension he earned as a congressman, as a public employee, as a gesture, or give back the money he earned pimping for Lehman Brothers, who sold the $400 million of bad assets to the state of Ohio and then went belly up.
Yeah. Well, final thoughts?
Well, the final thoughts is John Kasich has declared class warfare in Ohio. And the people are mobilizing. I'm proud of the firefighters. I'm proud of the police officers. I'm proud of the state police. And the teachers. An injury to one is an injury to all. And we've tried this before in 1877 during the railroad strike when they called out the army and shot people dead. During the Homestead strike of 1892 when the army invaded Homestead, Pennsylvania and shot it out with workers because they were on strike. To the dozens of people who died in the Pullman strike of 1894 when they jailed the legendary Eugene Victor Debs for telling his workers they should go on strike rather than giving in to the demands of the robber baron, George Pullman, who refused to let people leave his town he owned.
Yeah.
They used to have company towns. Right. Pullmanville. People were starving. And when the workers went on strike in solidarity, saying, let those people go, you can't imprison them, they called out the army and shot people. We don't do that anymore in the United States. We're a democracy. It's our army. The National Guard belongs to the people of Ohio. They don't work for the dictator, John Mubarak Kasich.
Well, this show is airing on Friday, February 18th.
When we're doing it.
Yeah, today's Thursday.
Workers were at the Capitol fighting for their right to organize.
Right, yeah. I think officially it was supposed to be a Tea Party rally or a pro Senate Bill 5 rally, but I went there this morning and I believe they were outnumbered by people in unions and people supporting unions. And it was really a good thing to see because I know that, we can pull together the women's movement that is still alive and thriving and the labor movement. We can support each other and show solidarity. I know that there are many feminists and women from Planned Parenthood and other feminist organizations that really recognize how important unions are. And we want to support each other. And we also hope that we can have the support of women and men who are in unions. And, this is the choice is an issue for men as well, especially if there is a class war going on that, forcing women to have babies, and frankly, you know, forcing men to have babies too that they don't want, not allowing abortion, means that there are going to be more mouths to feed. It's going to make things economically much more difficult. Every child deserves to have a home where its parent, where it's wanted and it can be afforded.
Solidarity forever.
This has been Fight Back with Bob Fitrakis and Connie Goodell Newton on WCRS 98.3 102.1.